Here we are. We're a little late.
Thanks for hanging in with us.
Yes.
But we're late, but we're great.
Yeah, that's the important thing to remember, is that sometimes people who are late are also great.
We're also great.
So don't hate.
Don't hate.
I don't like haters. How about you?
You know what? I don't like haters. Does anyone like haters?
Some people like haters, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
They do. Maybe they don't like haters of themselves, but they like haters, people who just hate in general.
Other people?
Yeah. What a world.
Get a life, right?
Welcome to Stay of Homekins.
Hello,
my name is Paul F. Tompkins.
Hello, Paul F. Tompkins. He's a comedian.
Hello, Janie Haddad Tompkins. You're an actress.
Together, we are a married couple that live in Los Angeles with a recording equipment. This is the fifth year doing this podcast.
That's right. This is our after-dinner podcast. We have dinner, and then afterwards, we record a podcast.
We pour a little weekend water. I'm drinking out of my weekend water glass. I will say, our after-dinner conversation typically happens on our Friday night date night.
That's right. That's right.
But we got a little pushed to a different night.
Can we call it a date night if we do the same thing every time? It's the podcast night.
It's, yeah, I guess you're right. Wait, that's not your idea of a fun date?
You're talking to the wrong guy.
Yeah, so we're a couple days late. Thanks for hanging in with us. We have a newcomer to the podcast that we'd like to introduce you to.
Is that true?
I'm wearing
him. Oh, we have a new t-shirt. Courtesy of our friends at Kinship Goods.
We are so excited about our brand new t-shirt. Now, listeners, we love you.
Thank you
for sticking with us.
Mm-hmm.
We have a brand new t-shirt that we're here to tell you about. However, if you subscribe to the Substack,
mm-hmm.
you would already know this information.
True. So how much do you resent other people knowing things before you?
If that's like a number 10 for you, you need to go to weekendwater.substack.com and subscribe.
That's if it's a number 10?
Yeah, if it's a 10 for you. If it registers 10 on the Richter scale.
Okay.
Eight.
Like your anger scale.
Your anger scale.
Your resentment scale.
Your resentment scale of people knowing things before you,
mm-hmm.
if it's hitting 10, I would say even if it hits over 3,
yeah.
go to weekendwater.substack.com,
mm-hmm.
slap in your email address, you just slap it in there, and then you will know when we have new merch. Now, this new shirt got announced to our Weekend Water subscribers. And let me tell you, folks, if cuteness hits you at a 10.
Yeah, on your cuteness scale.
On your cuteness scale?
This is like DEFCON because...
This is DEFCON.
Because DEFCON 1 seems like it should be the highest. Like it's counting down to 1.
Oh, okay.
But it's the other way.
Okay. That means it's really
so
high.
When people say, this is bad, we're at DEFCON 1. It's like, well, then everything's fine.
But
what
if
you're
at DEFCON 10.
I think it only goes up to 4. I could be wrong. That's the highest I've ever heard is 4.
I'm going to describe this t-shirt to you.
Yes. Now, let me get a little background. We do these additional episodes that are behind a paywall. Sorry.
Which you can access through weekendwater.substack.com.
That's right. And in one of our Vanderpump Rules reaction podcasts... Somehow this phrase came up. We invented the t-shirt in conversation on the podcast.
And it applies to every situation.
Yeah, it applies to every situation.
It applies to every situation and it applies. And honestly, you're going to want to buy some for your relatives. And when we describe it to you, you will understand why.
Here's what it is. The duck-billed platypus, one of the most mysterious creatures in nature, who's an aminal, but also lays eggs.
Aminal. Wait, is it ductile? Ductile? Ductict?
Jesus.
Okay, I had two sips of a drink in that. Duck billed. Is a duck billed platypus a marsupial?
No. A mammal. I don't believe so.
A mammal.
It is a mammal.
A mammal.
The curious thing about it is it's a mammal but lays eggs. Which a mammal ain't supposed to do, baby.
That's right. Okay.
But this duck-billed platypus does it anyway. So it's a duck-billed platypus. Beautiful drawing of a duck-billed platypus. He's very adorable. He's wearing little sunglasses.
The same sunglasses that the Piggly Wiggly pig wears on the y'all shirt. So if you
That's right.
are like a completionist.
It's part of the expanded t-shirt universe.
Yes.
And he's hanging out in the swamp or wherever the fuck they hang out. There's some cattails on there. And he is saying, there's a little quote attributed to him that says, I'd rather be duck-billed than red-pilled. Look, it stands on its own. There's no explanation required.
And then at the bottom it says, Stay at Homekins podcast.
Yeah.
Because.
If that's important to you.
It's just, but it's tiny. It's like in the swamp. So you don't, it's not like, you know, in your face.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah. And you can get the t-shirt at Kinship Goods, our stalwart merch.
How about it?
Partners. Yeah,
stalwart.
Yes. We have the best merch.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't feel bad like advertising it, telling people about it, wearing it myself.
Our merch is fun.
Our merch not only is fun, but it's quality.
Yeah. And it's, you know what? Quality. It's educational. And don't probe me on that. But that's a little commercial. There you go.
That's our commercials for ourselves. All right, so how are you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm a little.
Oh, ew, did you hate that I just said
I
that?
Really
what
did.
What if I said dude? Bro?
I think I would like dude
bro.
Better than buddy. Bro, I wouldn't want you to
kid.
Call me bro. I wouldn't mind that. It's a little,
yeah?
It's
hey,
a little
kid.
Massachusetts, but it's okay.
Yeah, it's like
So, we had it's been a busy week, culminating in a busy weekend.
We're very behind on everything, by the way. This is
I'm
not the
yawning
only
a lot, and I apologize.
Do you want some caffeine?
No, I did not want caffeine.
Yeah. Wait, what is that voice from?
Twin Peaks. That gum you like is coming back in style.
Yes.
She's my cousin, but doesn't she look exactly like Laura Palmer?
You should be that for Halloween 1 year.
I mean, comfortable costume. It's just
yeah,
a little
right.
suit. Just a suit and a shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I was thinking, okay, so Janie and I were watching TV. We're watching Resident Alien. It was the season finale. And there's one character who this season has been abducted by aliens frequently.
Spoiler alert.
And so frequently, well, if it happens frequently, I don't think it's a spoiler alert. It happens all throughout the season. But she gets to wear pajamas. And anytime I see stuff like that on TV, I'm like, oh, man, I bet she was so happy. Yes.
It's like a comfy day at work.
Oh, it's like if your character ends up in the hospital and you're in a bed.
Laying in the bed.
Oh, it's so, you don't go anywhere between takes. You just lay there in the bed. They adjust the shit around you. It's so good.
Yeah, that's like, you know, that's a gift.
It truly is. And if you're an actor, my fondest wish for you is that your character gets into some sort of accident.
Going in a coma or something.
A non-fatal accident where you end up in the hospital.
Oh, my God.
So we had a fun weekend.
Oh, we did.
Saturday. Sorry, Saturday.
Am I going to edit this part?
No, but I tell you what. If I'm yawning, why don't you jump in and cover the silence rather than cover your eyes like you're in Pan's Labyrinth.
I have allergies.
My curse is I'm being audibly tired, but you're just being visibly tired. Visually tired.
I'm just like massaging my eyelids because it's sort of like allergy season in it. Okay. Wow. Okay. Sorry. Oh, well, so we had a nice weekend. We saw lots of friends.
Yes, yesterday we went to the theater.
You went out of town Last week, you went up to Portland and Seattle.
Yes, thank you to... We did Varietopia up there. Thank you to Portland. Thank you to Seattle. We had great shows up there. Fantastic crowds. I really appreciate it that all those people came out. It was really fun. And then we got a whole bunch of shows coming up. More on that later. But then coming home, it was kind of hit the ground running. There was a lot to do.
Yeah, yeah.
But then Saturday, yesterday, we got to hang out, which was nice. We saw, we went to the theater and saw a play called Fat Ham, which is a modern and like comedic retelling of Hamlet.
Yeah, a comedy version. Yeah. Like a modern comedy version.
It was really terrific, really fun, really fun
the cast.
Show.
The cast was so cute.
Great cast.
And
yeah.
Talented and yeah.
And then it was our friend Ben's birthday, and we had
shout out to Ben.
He had a big dinner at one of our favorite restaurants here.
Oh yeah. And so we ran into people we knew there, and
that's which we always do.
Yeah.
Which is, it's fun.
That's like such an LA thing, man. It's such an LA thing to like run into people. Anyway, but it's been like cold and rainy here. And I think like our allergies and everything's like weird.
I gotta get tested for allergies because I don't, I might have some. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I talk about how much I hate daylight savings time?
Absolutely. Spill, queen.
Okay.
Go off.
I think...
Weird flex, but okay.
What is your opinion on daylight savings time, Paul?
I don't feel... Well, I famously have a hilarious comedy bit about it from
yes,
my
I know, but
2007 album, Impersonal.
I know, but that's sort of like, oh, is this milk still good? It's like sort of like...
Well, you're don't mock it.
You're me... What's I not... I was not mocking it.
That voice sounded... Very mocking. Anytime you're starting with ooh.
Wait, you are doing a mocking voice in the bit.
Yes, I am.
So I was imitating you doing.
Yeah, now you're mocking me.
No, because I'm doing your part of the bit.
But you know that's not what it sounds like. It doesn't sound like ooh.
No, okay, here's the bit. Here's him doing the bit.
Oh, it's my God.
It's like, and people who... Who are so dramatic about daylight savings time. I mean, they're like, oh, I still can't get used to daylight savings time. Who are you, Paul Bunyan? And then they...
What?
Open the-
Paul Bunyan? He has nothing to do with time change or sleep. Are you thinking of Rip Van Winkle? Which I also don't mention in the bit.
You don't mention Rip Van Winkle or Paul Bunyan?
No. Or Paul Bunyan. I don't mention Babe the Blue Ox. I don't mention Johnny Appleseed.
And you're like, oh, they open the refrigerator and then they are like, grab the milk. They're like, ooh, is this milk so good? How did I get anything close?
Close.
I mean, I get
you got
I,
things that are close.
I know that I messed up on the Paul Bunyan Rip Van Winkle.
Do I have a great bushy beard? That's the big.
Oh yeah. But that's the Rip Van Winkle.
But I don't say Rip Van Winkle.
But you're clearly talking about Rip Van Winkle.
Am I? Or is that what you inferred?
I feel like this is the end of Don't Fuck With Cats.
I'm not crazy. I'm discerning.
Oh, yeah. Did we tell that on the...
Oh, yeah.
People know this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not crazy. Wait, you have to do the bit. You have to tell me. This is what you do when someone calls you crazy.
Okay. Hey, you're crazy.
I'm not crazy.
You don't even let me finish my line.
Oh.
What? You know what?
Wait.
I got one thing to say to you.
Start over.
Okay, sure.
Hey.
It's in response to hey that I say you're crazy.
Do you? Okay, wait.
I wouldn't even bother rebutting that person. Hey, you're crazy.
Wait.
Oh, okay.
You're 10 minutes late.
No, I'm not. You're crazy.
I'm not crazy. I'm discerning.
No, you know what? That's the wrong setup. That's my fault. My fault.
Okay,
give me,
go ahead
give me your same, what you said again. Same thing.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
You're 10 minutes late, and we talked about this, and you know how much being late triggers me.
Oh my God, who cares? You're crazy.
I'm not crazy. I'm discerning. And you're finding it hard to manipulate me. There's a difference. By the way, you're the crazy one in this one because you're laughing at me.
I broke character. That's true. And I'm sorry.
Oh, you were breaking character?
I broke character.
You weren't being a dick?
No, that was
gaslighting
not.
Me?
The laughter was not intention. Was not a gaslight. It was, I was breaking character. That was my bad acting.
I'm not crazy.
I'm discerning.
I'm discerning. And you're finding it hard to manipulate me.
There's a difference. I mean, if you say that to somebody, obviously we'll shut them down to hell.
I have been dying for someone to call me crazy.
Why does discerning get into it?
Just in the article that if you're new to Stay Up Homekins, this is like your first time, number one, why? Number two, this is from an earlier, this is like an in-joke with me and my girlfriends from over a year ago. Where I was reading them an article on our girls' weekend, and it was telling you, like, it was like going through ways to deal with people with gaslighting. Mm. If someone is gaslighting you,
right?
Like responses to gaslighting, and that became like our catchphrase, and we say it all the time. But no one's like genuinely called me crazy yet. I'm trying, man.
But why discerning? What is that in response to?
Well, it doesn't say in the article when it's listing the reaction.
It's making me need to look up the word discern.
Discerning, doesn't it? Discerning mean like kind of exacting or kind of like I have a high bar or I have standards.
Yeah.
So like you.
I
so
mean, to
if
discern means to figure out.
Oh, it does?
Yes, but discerning.
Oh, discerning might mean like I figured you out, right? I'm not crazy. I have your number. I'm discerning. I'm discerning you, right? Kind of?
As a verb, recognize or find out. Distinguish someone or something with difficulty by sight or with the other senses, as in she could faintly discern the shape of a skull. That's scary. Why is that the example? What the fuck?
What is a Game of Thrones dictionary?
Discerning is having or showing good judgment. Here's the example of this. The brassiere attracts discerning customers. What is this filthy dictionary? Filthy goth dictionary?
The fuck is going on?
Discriminating is a synonym.
Discriminating.
But it's still like, okay, I'm not crazy. I have good judgment.
Well,
this feels like a very specific situation.
I feel like it's saying like, I have good judgment about people. And so my reaction is not an overreaction kind of a thing. It's what the implication is. Do you think what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes. Because when people say you're crazy, they accuse you of overreacting to something.
Yeah, or they're deflecting off of their own shitty behavior.
That's right.
Right?
What if in the movie Gaslight, Ingrid Bergman had said that?
Then it would have been a 5-minute movie.
What if she said at the very end?
A short. Oh.
They slap a happy ending on it. I actually don't remember how that movie ends. I saw it a long time ago.
I saw it. Oh, God. I saw it so long ago. Mm-hmm. I think I was like in middle school.
Should we do a watch-along to that?
Oh, that's an interesting... We did put out a watch-along since we last recorded.
Yes, we watched the movie Grease.
Yes.
Which I had never seen.
And you loved it.
Yeah, it was really fun. It's a fun movie.
It's a really good movie.
Yeah.
You instantly recognized its iconic nature.
Well, of course. I'm not a fool. I am discerning. I'm not crazy.
I was like, I have been gaslit lately by people, but not called crazy.
Oh.
But I don't know, like, if it's even worthy of discussion.
It was an attempt. It's funny when somebody attempts to do something like that, and you're like, come on, dude.
You're like, okay. But no one is like, you're crazy to me.
No. They wouldn't dare.
I know, but God, it would be so fun to whip out the phrase.
The speech. The monologue. Speech. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I would also say if you do that speech, you have to immediately leave the room. You can't stay in the same room with that person. It's an exit line.
There's a difference. Mic drop, turn and go.
It's an exit line. Absolutely. You can't just like go back to your magazine or whatever the fuck you were doing.
Would I point in their face?
No.
I'm not crazy. I'm discern. How no, no, no. I'm pointing at you right now.
You say it.
Or at the end, just at the end.
No, you're not angry.
There's a difference.
I know you. I know you. You're just pointing.
People are old enough to know what that's from, probably.
Some people are. God bless them.
That was like literally one of my favorite SNL shorts ever made on the planet Earth. It was before SNL. Might not even been SNL. It was
SNL. Oh, yeah. I think that you have to deliver that as calmly and coldly as possible.
Okay, let's practice it again. Okay. So,
let me do it.
Okay. Hey, what's up?
You're 15 minutes late and it's really becoming a problem.
You're crazy.
I'm not crazy. I'm discerning. And you're finding it difficult to manipulate me. There's a difference. That was the door.
Wait a minute. Do it again.
Okay.
Wait, okay.
Hey.
Hey.
You're 15 minutes late for the third time.
What the fuck are you talking about, man?
You're late.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean, what am I talking about? This is the third time in a row you've been 15 minutes late.
Oh, you're never late?
I'm late sometimes, sure.
Oh, you're fucking crazy.
Let me tell you something. I'm not crazy. I'm discerning. And you're finding it difficult to manipulate me. There's a difference.
You're fucking crazy!
Can't hear you. I mean, that is, if you're the other person, that's the move. You got to yell after them, you're fucking
crazy.
You're
fucking crazy!
You have no choice. If you want to feel like you're saving face at all, you have to scream after them, you're fucking crazy.
It's so funny. It's so funny. I mean, when's the last time someone tried to gaslight you?
I think it's been a while. Yeah. I have known people, I haven't known anybody like this in a long time, but where, you know, either, I think my family used to do this sometimes, but also I've had it in relationships where you start to get up, like you're in a fight is starting,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and you're arguing back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get up, like the other person's upset, clearly,
mm-hmm.
then you get upset, they kind of wind you up. Mm-hmm. And then when you're at the point where you're raising your voice, they're like, I don't know why you're getting so upset about this. That is such a, it's a great move. I urge anyone to try it.
It's not the a great
if you want to if you want to drive somebody out of their goddamn minds.
It's not a great move because it doesn't fix the situation.
No, it doesn't. I'm not offering this advice if you're looking to actually become a healthy human being. This advice, if I'm trying to meet you where you are, if you're listening to this and you're like, yes, then this is advice for you. It never fails to make the other person psychotically angry. It just makes it worse.
I mean, yeah.
Let's talk about today, which was a fun day. We had. We can't go into like a super detail
because it's not our thing to talk about.
No. But it's a jumping off point for conversation.
Okay, let's talk about whatever you want, babe.
A friend of ours. Did you want to cheers me?
A friend of ours.
By the way, the term toast is gone forever.
Why?
Because nobody uses it anymore.
What are you talking about?
Everyone says cheers for toast. Let's cheers.
No.
Yeah, let's cheers to that.
Oh, are you going to deliver a cheers at your cousin's wedding? No.
They say speech. They say speech. They wouldn't say toast. I feel like that term is just gone.
It's never went away from me.
Here's what. Never went away from me either, but we're old, honey. But so I'm watching, we're watching The Traitors and we're watching it in all the countries.
Yes, we've become a little obsessed.
And even in the UK, they're saying cheers instead of toast.
What?
Yes.
No.
Are you calling me crazy? Because I have news for you. It's one of those things that I realize I have to let go because the society has moved on. You know what I mean?
I think
like you have a limited window of time when you can be upset about people misusing something or not using the proper term. If you like words, like of course, when it's about expression, I understand what people mean. And it's not about unclear communication. It's like, no, there's a word for that.
Yeah.
Cheers is the thing you say.
Everyone should like words though, because words can be violence or words can be love.
Ooh, that's deep.
Right?
But I think especially with our language, which is so fucking complicated, you know what I mean?
Oh, we have a language that's complicated?
Yeah, yeah. I think English is kind of a difficult language to learn.
Also, we have so much slang and like so much like evolution, like you're saying.
We have all these rules of like pronunciation that are so hard to follow until you know all the words.
And funny regional dialects. I mean, yeah. It must be so crazy if you're visiting different parts of the United States and you never.
So if you're saying, may I propose a toast? Like that, I think that phrase is just
I'd like
gone.
To propose a toast.
Yeah.
To the happy couple.
But now people are like, I have a cheers. Let's cheers.
So funny.
Yeah.
I don't think I picked up on that. I think it would have just gone over my head.
Like, I don't know.
I would have just thought it was a quirk of the person talking and not some kind of trend in language.
It really sticks out for me. Yeah, it's one of those things. Okay. Friend of ours found in her late father's effects a screenplay that he had written. And she had this thing for a few years and then said, hey, let's do an informal reading of it. Because it's nuts and we can see it.
He was not a writer.
He was not a writer.
Which was the whole thing.
Yeah. And so we learned
a complicated relationship with his parents.
Yeah, and we learned all about the history and everything. It was really interesting.
And he comes from a very like complicated family background and was a controversial figure.
In her life.
In her life. Yeah.
But it was really interesting getting to hear all this stuff. Which is, there's some wild stories.
Right.
But then also,
we skipped the part where we said that we hosted the reading here.
Yes, we hosted the reading here.
Yeah.
And so we had a few people over
today
to read it out. And it was really fun. We were laughing and laughing and laughing, like every page.
I hope it was also kind of cathartic for her because
I'm sure. I think it absolutely was because there were so many moments where we were taking, hi, Cuckoo. We're talking about what happened today. You were there. You came out a few times.
Cuckoo, you're just Cuckoo. You're not crazy.
You're discerning. There's a difference.
Your name is Cuckoo. It's not your quality.
And we're finding it hard to manipulate you. Unless you're talking about the hands of the clock, which are actually
pretty straightforward.
So we
had a group of...
So you could tell in her, our reactions to things, she was like, right? Like, we were having the same reaction to things that she had had when she read it, which I'm sure was very cathartic and validating.
Yes, it was sort of like, I had no idea what to expect because you're like, okay, we're going to be reading the screenplay of our friend, and she found it in her father's stuff, and they had this complicated relationship, and oof, boy, this screenplay apparently is a real doozy. And I'm like, wait, I don't understand. Like, are we making fun of it, or what are we doing? Like, I didn't understand the exercise. And so I had no...
Oh, before we started.
Yeah. And so, and you were
and
like...
And I refused to tell you.
You said you didn't know. You said you didn't
well,
know.
Well, here's what I knew, is that this... I knew the screenplay was kind of ridiculous, And she was approaching it from a lighthearted standpoint, not like, this was in my father's effects and I'd like to honor him.
Yeah, yeah. No, this was like, can you get a load of this guy? It was kind of like a, can you get a load of this guy?
There was so much in it where she would like call out like, oh my God, dad. Like and I was tripping out on like thinking about if my dad wrote a screenplay.
But then I was thinking, because she's not sure what she wants to do with it. She wants to maybe turn it into a performance piece of some sort.
Yeah.
That is also like memoir.
Yeah.
Of her own childhood relationship with her late dad.
Yeah.
But I think I had heard about this podcast that was really popular called My Dad Wrote a Porno or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
I've heard of that podcast. I don't know anything about it.
Loved it.
Oh, yeah. It was very popular. For some reason, I don't know why. I just didn't know.
And then I should have brought that up today because I'm wondering if that.
Do you know about it? Like, is it about like they find a porn screenplay?
I don't think find. I think the dad is part of the podcast.
Really?
I feel like you got to look it up right now.
I guess it. Okay.
I mean, maybe you don't, but like.
I'll look it up during the break.
Like half of our listeners probably know about that podcast because it was actually a really popular podcast. And a lot of people told me to listen to it because it was like really good and funny and stuff. But so it was kind of like reminding me of like, well, like she's trying to understand, I guess, this parent, you know, through this screenplay. And anyway, I was like, also like, when you are reading a bad screenplay and you're like, we're going to do this exercise where we read a bad screenplay, there can kind of be like, it can be tedious.
Yeah.
This screenplay actually was not tedious.
Mm-hmm.
Like it literally was so entertaining to hear everybody like try to bring the characters to life.
Yeah.
Of course, it was like a group of comedy actors. Mm-hmm. So it was funny to hear them or whatever, but like.
Okay. Imagine if your dad wrote a dirty book. Most people would try to ignore it and pretend it had never happened, but not Jamie Morton. Instead, he's decided to read it to the world in this award-winning comedy podcast. With the help of his friends, Jamie will be reading a chapter each episode and discovering more about his father than he ever bargained for. So the dad is not a part of the podcast. We should probably
send it to
her.
Our friend.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because...
Oh, and another thing came up because the word porno was in the script.
And we all like were like, ew, who uses the word porno?
Yeah.
But it sounds like so 70s.
But folks, it used to be porno.
Deep Throat, it's a porno.
It was porno for the longest time.
And now it's just porn.
And then I remember, yeah.
It's a Pornhub.
I remember like 10, 15 years ago being on stage in an improv scene and saying the word porno. And I said it a couple times, and then one of the other improvisers was like, we just say porn now. And it really, and that's when I realized, like, oh.
You say toast.
It's just porn.
You say porno.
I'm like an unfrozen caveman.
You don't even know.
All right, we should take a break.
All right, we'll be right back after no messages as the only ad we have is our t-shirt.
I'll do an ad for my tour.
Oh.
All right, so we'll be right back after this ad for my tour.
Hi, everybody. It's Paul. Listen, I just want you to know that I'm going on tour with Varietopia, my live variety show. We just had some shows in Portland and Seattle that went gangbusters, and we are continuing the tour at the end of this month, starting in Brooklyn, New York, at the beloved Bell House in Gowanus. We are doing two nights there, and we'd love for you to come out because there's still tickets available for the late shows. The early shows are sold out, but the 10 p.m. shows are still available Friday and Saturday, the 26th and 27th of April. After that, we're on to Waldoboro, Maine, sold out. Portsmouth, New Hampshire, sold out. Boston, Massachusetts, early show sold out. Late show, still tickets available. Alexandria, Virginia, sold out. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, early show, sold out. Late show, still tickets available. Cleveland, Ohio, sold out. Late show, early tickets, late show tickets still available. Early show sold out. Then St. Paul, Minnesota, the Fitzgerald Theater. Chicago, Illinois, at the Riviera. And then San Francisco, California, the 30th and 31st of August. Why didn't I say all the dates? That's for me to know and you to find out.
And then it finishes Saturday, November 23rd in Charleston, South Carolina. We urge you to come out. Tickets are available at paulfthompkins.com/live. That's paulfthompkins.com/live.
And we're back. I can't believe all that free publicity you just got on our pod.
Yeah, I know. I'm very grateful to the producers of Stay at Homekins.
That would be me.
It's true. Do you think I'm a co-producer or am I not at all?
Technically, you're not.
I'm just co-host.
You're just a co-host.
Mm. Okay, that's fair.
I know. I mean, look, sometimes you probably should get like promoted to a producer credit.
Still working my way up.
But, you know, it's all under my little umbrella that I did all the
your work. Shingle.
It's under my shingle, babe.
Yeah.
It's under my shingle.
Speaking of shingle.
Good dog, Ubu, sit. Remember that?
Sit, Ubu, sit.
Good dog. Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog. That was a
shingle. Good night, Mr. Walters. Remember that guy?
No.
That was like at the end of Taxi.
Oh, yeah, I do remember now.
God, Taxi starts out real bleak with that theme song, which is very sad.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, after it's all set in that grimy one set.
Yeah.
Then at the end, you have the production card.
Shingles.
Good night, Mr. Walters. Guy looking like fucking Willie Loman from behind putting his hat on.
Whose shingle was that, I wonder?
I can't remember.
Who created Taxi? I don't know my TV history, huh?
I don't remember who created Taxi. I used to know. I loved that show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I loved that show.
I wonder if it still holds up. I bet a lot of it holds up. It was funny.
Yeah. It holds up.
Yeah.
It definitely holds up.
It was not like of its time.
No.
In that way.
It was character driven.
That you had to be there. Yeah, it was character driven. Yeah.
Yeah. That's character driven stuff tends to hold up.
Agreed. Like the little tramp Charles Chaplin.
Oh my God, you're always rewatching that.
I can't stop watching Charlie Chaplin.
Remember, I know we talked about this on a podcast. I know I'm like repeating. Remember when The Secret came out?
The book, The Secret?
Yeah. And they were like, there is like some commercial or something for The Secret or some video about The Secret.
I don't remember this. Yeah, go on.
And like, part of it wasn't The Secret is like, if you just believe something, it'll happen for you. Wasn't that?
Yeah,
sort of what
kind
it was?
Of like you. It's sort of
it's
you
the power
make
positive
your own
thinking.
Yeah. Which the flip side is, if something bad happens to you, that's also your fault.
So then you can never think anything other than happy thoughts, which makes you a robot.
No, and that means
that's
like
not the full range of human emotion.
People
really.
That are victims of genocides and mass slaughter, it was their fault.
Okay, they
should have thought. Should have thought
secret.
More positively.
Okay, yeah. So basically, it's like there was some video, and it's like if you think things, it'll be better for you or whatever. And it was like someone who had cancer.
Oh, I do remember this.
Swear, I feel like have I invented this?
Oh,
I'm about to say something that might have been something that I invented in my brain.
No,
or
honey.
That you and I invented as a fever dream.
No.
But someone like had in the scenario of The Secret had cancer. And so they just thought positively and watched comedies to make them laugh through the cancer and heal their cancer.
Yeah.
And what they watched was...
What they showed us anyway.
Or what they showed them watching was them like fucking yucking it up.
Losing their shit.
Their fucking minds over like a silent film, like a Buster Keaton.
I think it was Charlie Chaplin.
Charlie Chaplin. And I'm like, what the fuck cult video am I watching right now that is like it must have been weird.
It must have been a rights thing.
Anything but that. The old Mickey Mouse. Even the old Mickey Mouse, Steamboat Willie or whatever.
I'd probably laugh harder at Steamboat Willie than Charlie.
It would have been
Chaplin.
Funnier to see that someone laughing at than a fucking black and white silent, you know, pre-talkies or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Are Charlie Chaplin movies in the public domain?
I thought it was Buster Keaton.
I don't know why I'm thinking Charlie Chaplin, but you might be right.
I mean, and it's like the lack of realism of someone on their couch for movie night in modern times, like just LOLing.
Yeah.
LOLing. That's laughing out loud.
There's a bunch. Sorry.
Yeah.
There's a bunch that he was in. Oh, but then like the Gold Rush, The Kid.
Yeah. Those are all like public domain.
Yeah. So the Gold Rush and The Kid are his two most famous that appear to be in the public domain.
Okay, so you think it was just a rights thing? They're like, we'll put a green screen there and we'll fill it. Don't worry, we'll put a green screen on what they're laughing at and we'll fill it in later.
Yeah.
And then
just laugh
like
a maniac.
A laugh like you're watching like your favorite comedy. And then they're losing their minds. And then they must have watched it back after they'd like superimposed Charlie Chaplin on the whatever piece of green construction paper they taped to a television set.
You know what? Buster Keaton has a bunch in the public domain too. Well, but some of them, not until recently, last year.
Well, all I know is that was it The Secret? Was that the video, The Secret, or was it that other video? Remember the other video? And people passed it around. It was like a videotape. What the bleep do we know, or whatever? What the bleep do
you
know?
Oh, we rented that once. We know somebody who's in that movie.
You know what? You're right.
Yeah.
And I forget every time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And of course, I waited on Marley Matlin when I worked at Tower Video.
Wait, but what the bleep do we know is what? It's like supposed to be about like quantum physics or something?
I think so.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Maybe it was a scene from that movie.
Yeah. Maybe. It might have been. Because it's familiar to me, too. It must have been something that we saw together.
Why would The Secret have a video? I think The Secret, though, did have a video.
Oh, I'm sure there was a video component to The Secret, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the bleep do we know? This is my famous Marley Matlin story. When I worked at Tower Video, and she was a frequent customer, and I remember one time she came in, and she was returning the movie. Oh, it was some Adam Sandler movie. God damn.
Happy Gilmore.
It was one of those, but I don't.
Happy Madison.
Well, Happy Madison is the production company. It was Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore.
Okay, Billy Madison.
I guess I'm going to look up his filmography and see from the time frame.
We drove past your old Tower Video.
Yes.
Store
and it's one of those storefronts, and every town has a bunch of them. Where nothing sticks there.
Yeah.
So after Tower Video closed down, it's been a bank and then maybe something else, and now it's empty again.
Yeah, that is like...
Oh, and there's that restaurant on near the Cinerama Dome on the corner that has been so many things and is closed again.
Yeah. We drove by it. It was like... but it was that pizzeria, though, for like a really long time.
Yeah,
Stella Bar.
I guess it died with quarantine.
COVID. No, you know what? I think one of my last activities was going to eat there with Cynthia before COVID lockdowns.
Wow!
Because I think we had gone to see. Did they make a movie of Emma in 2019 with?
Yeah, Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah, in 2019, right?
I believe so.
I swear to God, I went to see that movie with Cynthia, and it was either the end of 2019 or I think it was the beginning of 2020, because I think that we were sitting there and I asked her, what do you think this COVID coronavirus thing is all about?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, who knows, you know, blah, 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 because it was like not. Now I want to look up when that movie was in theaters, because I think that might have been one of the last movies I saw in the theater, and it happened to be at Cinerama Dome.
So Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore. Billy Madison, 1995. Happy Gilmore, 1996. I bet it was Billy Madison. And Marley Matlin returned it and said to me, this movie was awful. I was like, I don't know what to tell you.
And you were like, I know.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you just unzipped your hoodie and you had on the platypus t-shirt.
Reveal.
Why didn't you let... You didn't even say anything this whole
time.
It's
for the drama.
Wow.
For the drama.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Wait, why do I do that character? I forgot where that character came from. Okay.
I don't know.
By the way, Emma was released at the end of February 2020.
Wow. Wow.
And so me and Cynthia went and saw it at the Arclight, and then we went and had pizza next door at that pizza place.
How was the movie? Do you remember if
you
liked
it? Yeah, we liked it.
Do you know what I want?
We thought it was charming.
Yeah. I want to rewatch some movies that I haven't seen in a long time.
You do?
Yeah, I was talking with Ben at dinner last night.
Okay. Oh, yeah, he does a lot of movie rewatching.
Yeah, and he's in the middle of a Coen Brothers rewatch.
Oh, that's right.
And I realized there's a bunch of movies that I loved of theirs that I have not seen since they came out. And it might be fun to watch them again, like Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I have to rewatch The Big Lebowski because I didn't like it when it first came out.
Really?
And people love it. You know, most people love it.
Yeah.
And it really became a thing.
No, people, it has like a cult following.
For sure, for sure.
People do like party, like yes. Lebowski parties.
Yeah. So I feel like I have to watch that again to see if I enjoy it more the second time.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll do that.
Okay.
I don't know who that person is. I don't know.
We'll never know. We may never know.
What can we do to make things in the world less horrible? Everything sucks.
Everything's really bad right now. And
can I just say, I just saw this headline that was like, anxiety and depression in young people are... You know, it's like blah, 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 and social media, the internet. I'm like, I don't think it's the existence of it. I think it's what is going on.
Yeah.
They get to see. Like, we were not built to know every atrocity happening in real time.
Right.
And all the time.
Yeah. Because, first of all, you have in the, let's call it the micro, you have in every neighborhood homelessness, which is this tragic thing that we're just living side by side with and
which is
not really doing anything about.
So shameful.
Yeah. And it forces
such a
people.
Wealthy countries. Like,
yeah. But it forces people to, I think, just out of self-preservation, to blame the people who are homeless, you know, for the problem. And just focus on that. Like, we need the cops to sweep these people out of here.
Oh, no, but I also think there's some psychological element of, like, fear and projection.
That's what I'm saying. Kind of, yeah.
That they are like, that could be me, and if I spit on it or look...
I think that's deep down, yeah. I think that's deep down. Then they telling themselves, like, these people are choosing to live this way, you know?
Right, because it's too scary to admit that randomness...
Yeah.
Could strike anybody at any moment.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That because of the way our society is structured, a tragedy could wipe you out and then you would have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And then and then zoom out all the way to the macro, we have the existential threat of
climate change
that nobody's that not enough people are doing anything about, the people in power, you know, and it forces us to turn on each other. Where it's like, you're not, you know, you're not, you should get drought resistant, you know, landscaping for your little front lawn.
5 inches of whatever.
And it's like, okay, why don't you go protest a golf course? You know what I mean? Instead of making your neighbor feel bad.
Or a fucking factory that's burning.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and famine and droughts apparently cause wars.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So now we have all of this, like, I mean, that's not the whole reason that there's all of this, like, war.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of ideology stuff, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, okay, how are we... What are we supposed to do?
Yeah. That's why that I do not want to see that movie Civil War.
But I want to see it because it looked kind of like it looked provocative to me in a way that I like some movies.
Don't want to be provoked in that way because I'm already thinking about that, so I do not need the provocation.
But I'm curious like how they handle it because the provocation could lead you down a path of more kind of like broad-mindedness or something. Do you know what I mean?
I have a feeling that's not what this movie is trying to do.
I think it is. You don't think that?
It's trying to get people to open their minds.
It's a cautionary tale, from what I understand.
Yeah. But I mean, for who?
America, because of where we are right now.
But it's, I think it's just for the people. They're cautioning you against a thing you're already worried about. I don't think it's a cautionary tale for the people who would like to start a civil war in America and secede and all that. Like, I don't think there's anybody involved in January 6th who watches that movie and says, I wish I'd seen this sooner.
Oh, so you, like, in other words, like, it's not, it doesn't exist as propaganda.
Yeah.
I think it's trying to exist as art that is provocative. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rather than propaganda?
Yeah. I feel like it's... Okay.
I did read about it, and it's apparently like one of the... I read some review where one of the gripes about the movie was that it is absolutely apolitical.
That's what a friend of mine said who saw it.
But I think that was like purposeful in that we're not taking any side here. This is like mankind is looking at people fighting over stupid shit, right?
But then how do you not inject... How is that not infused by politics, though?
Because I think that the point of view... I haven't seen it, so people should know this.
Right.
The point of view that the movie is taking is it's almost like it doesn't matter. Extremism is extremism. Like, if you don't learn how to talk about your side of things, this is where we're headed no matter what, kind of a thing. Okay. Does that make you want to see it more or less?
Less, probably, which I already was off board. But
why? You want it to be like where the skins versus the shirts or whatever?
I don't want it to be existing.
I heard it was quite like experiential.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I'd give it a shot with you. I'm not going to go to a theater to see it.
That's fair.
But I would definitely give it a shot with you. And if I didn't like it, I would just leave the room. And on my way out, guess what I would say?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think that all we can do is, on a personal level, is get more involved in our community.
In our close-knit circles.
Well, I don't know what you mean
community.
By that.
Community. I mean, like, don't focus. There, like, I don't know.
It's very hard to change the world, but we can try to make our immediate community better than it is and help out more. Because we don't really do that.
But here's where I'm about to go a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of gaslighting.
Mm-hmm. Here's where I'm about to get a little discerning.
And is I'm online a lot, okay?
That's right.
And I like to know things,
mm-hmm.
people's going on, like what's going on, what people are thinking, da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to feel like a lot of shit that I'm seeing is not real. Like invading even the most random crevices of the internet.
You mean literally like made up stuff?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Like made up footage and
yes.
that sort of thing?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I'm not even on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll see like on Instagram, like the avert, like, you know how people will be in front of like on a TikTok and it's like they're facing the camera phone. And they're referring back to like some kind of video footage behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like giving like their opinion and their commentary on like, I mean, like what's happening with, you know, sidewalks. I mean, this sidewalk in Ohio, you know what I mean? And like every time I look at it, I'm like, that footage isn't real. Like there's no fucking way. Like, and yet it looks like real because it's like a random, just regular looking person doing a front facing camera thing, like being passionate about something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know I don't, you know, like I hear all this stuff. I see all this stuff like, oh, crime here is this or that. Look at this footage of this person, that, you know, getting beat up or whatever. And then I'm like, unless it's like reported on in a, I don't know, like a real way or something.
Yeah,
it
I
feels
know.
Like a, it feels like a, it's that whole perception versus reality thing.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I don't know what is real. Like, is Nashville truly becoming like an unsafe place to just go out? I mean, like,
oh, has that been a thing lately?
Well, yeah, some bad things have happened there actually kind of recently. For real, like real I am things.
I'm not up like, on what's been going on.
Like sort of this kid went missing and then they found, it's like a whole, like, and then some country star threw a chair. I mean, that shit really did happen.
That's the one I heard about.
No,
yeah.
But like all this stuff is really happening. But then you start to see, like, it starts leaking into other things where it's like, now it's become a thing or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then that's a dumb example. Sorry. I didn't mean to do this. I'm really speaking to what it's just like to stay sane in this mm-hmm. moment.
Yeah.
Because now we're like, I don't know, post all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And we're living in this time now.
I know. It's the feeling that I have is that everything is just relentless. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We're still dealing with the trauma, the PTSD of quarantine and COVID and all that.
And people lost so many loved ones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then some people are still sick.
Yeah.
You know, because they haven't figured out like the impacts and stuff.
And then there's just, this country is like going insane. The world is going crazy. Everything's so violent and bleak. And it just feels like one thing after another, the hits just keep on coming. And it's profoundly demoralizing.
Well, I think it creates, it is like the, I mean, I don't remember this movie very well, but like a Hunger Games kind of like mentality.
Yeah.
Where you're just like on the defense all the time about some unsafe thing happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though you may live in a pretty predictable pattern of life mm-hmm. and bubble of safety.
Yeah.
Which a lot of Americans do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's like, okay, are we supposed to all be in fear? It's the fear factor stuff that mm-hmm. kills me. Like,
thanks, Joe Rogan.
Wait, that was his like...
Now I'm afraid I have to eat a bowl of worms.
Oh, God.
Do you remember Fear Factor?
Well, I didn't watch Fear Factor because...
Nor did I.
Because even the commercials, like, if I even heard one of the commercials like near where I was...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had to, like, leave.
Yeah.
Because they would show, like, people, like, touching scorpions and shit. And I'm like...
That was the thing I was thinking of, too.
I was like... Scorpions. No, I can't fucking... I can't...
Yeah. Did you ever see any of those clips of the Maury Povich show where they would have somebody confront their fears? And people had weird fears of things, right?
Uh-huh. Well, you know our friend Krista. Okay, keep going. Yeah. I'll say what she's afraid of.
Yes, which is a very specific thing. And then when she explained it, I was like, okay. Still rare,
but
I get it.
We talked about it on the pod. I know everything we've said, we've already shared on the pod.
What do you know? I'm allowed
What's
to
happening?
See. I'm allowed to see how much time we've been doing.
You have not been promoted to producer. Well, don't worry, you still got a lot.
I've been
more
the
time.
Shadow producer the whole time.
I feel like I'm going to end up in like a Burn It Down book where you're like, remember the Burn It Down book where they're like, the toxic work environment. So and so.
Oh, right.
I did read that book.
It
needed a lot.
That
more
was the one that had the lost stuff in it.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. 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 So on Maury, they would have people confronting their fears. And it would be like a woman was like, I'm terrified of pencil erasers. They're scary to me. And then she would, you know, tell her story.
This sounds very like revival tent theater. theater to me.
You know what? It kind of is. And then they would say, okay, are you ready? And she'd say, yeah. And then they have like a guy come out in a suit of all pencil erasers. Like walking around like a big mascot or something. And then she'd be like, oh my God.
I mean, I think exposure therapy, though, is a thing. Like,
I think
people do it with like fear of flying.
I don't think that's how you do it, though. I don't think you have somebody dress up.
Also, there are like some fears, like maybe you don't have to conquer necessarily. Like, you can avoid pencil erasers pretty easily.
You can avoid pencil erasers. So there's hardly any around.
If you were on, if you dare reveal, if you were on Maury Povich, and we were like, we need to know your like biggest fear.
There's no way you get me to say that on a microphone. Absolutely not. Because there's a percentage of people who they could not help the impulse but to troll you with that thing.
I have so many, it wouldn't matter, so.
But we have a friend whose fear is the corners of wet places. And we were like, what does that mean?
But she can now sort of like, if I said, could you sit in the corner of this hot tub?
Yeah, she can do
like,
it now?
I could do it, but like. She doesn't pick it.
Yeah. But it's pools, hot tubs.
That's it. What else is there?
Bathtubs, maybe?
I don't know.
The corners of wet places.
Wait, but Krista's like just such an oddball in a funny way anyway.
She's a fascinating person.
But she's also, well, I won't say the other fear because you're right, because someone could troll her with it. You can't really troll her with the corners of wet places because you'd have to have a giant tank or something that you walked around with.
I guess you could take a picture of the corner of a pool, but I don't know if it's the same thing.
I don't think it has the same impact.
Yeah, I think it's got to be 3D.
That would be funny if like AI, you know how everyone's like, oh, AI is going to make like, it's going to replace entertainment. Mm-hmm. Or whatever. And so like the AI is going to like make a horror movie for Krista. And it's just about like
the corners of wet places.
Yeah.
This October.
Oh my God. That is...
Stay where it's straight.
Don't get wet.
Do you remember I used to have the superstition about the hat on the bed?
But everybody has that. You're not supposed to put a hat on the bed.
Hold on a second. I'm not saying I'm special. I'm saying that I used to have the superstition. And then I looked it up.
Yeah, we on the pod, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm asking you if you remember.
I remember.
Okay, that's all you had to say. Instead of telling me I'm not special.
Wow. I didn't mean
like... Yeah, everybody has that.
I didn't mean like that. You know what?
Yeah,
you're
who
right.
Do you think you are?
That came out. I didn't like that the way that came out. What I meant was, I thought you were trying to say it was like.
No, I'm not saying it was a Krista type thing.
That's what it sounded
like.
Yeah,
I did not.
That's how it came out.
We both.
I still kind of have it.
You still can have it? No, but
no,
you don't
I
have
still kind of have it.
You don't have to have it.
No, I know. I don't have to have it, but.
But look it up and then you won't have it anymore.
No, we looked it up together on the podcast. It was done together.
But if you look it up solo, maybe you won't have it anymore. I remember when my mom became an atheist.
Yeah.
And the first time after that I said Jesus Christ in front of her and she like recoiled. Uh-huh. And I said, "What do you don't care anymore?" And she's like, "I know. It was very shocking to me."
Wait, so like y'all didn't like cuss or anything in front of your parents?
No. We were not supposed to curse in front of our parents and certainly not take the Lord's name in vain.
Really?
There was a lot of, oh God, but you were not supposed to say Jesus in like anger or distress.
Wow.
You weren't supposed to say, God damn it. When we got to a certain age, you could say like shit and stuff. You know what I mean?
What about fuck?
100% no. Absolutely
so, like,
not.
Your parents never heard you say the word fuck.
I didn't say that.
So you're saying you've said it to them.
Yeah. I said it.
Oh boy.
The earliest memory I have of saying fuck in front of my mother was we went to see the movie Clash of the Titans, the original, 1981, I think. Mm-hmm. So I was a kid, right? Mm-hmm. And the movie was about to start, lights were going down, and there was like a crowd of kids behind us, a couple rows behind us, who were being very loud and boisterous. And I sort of like looked over my shoulder and said, like to myself, are these fucking idiots going to talk through this whole movie? And my mother went, what did you say? And then the lights went down and the movie started.
Did you feel like, so when that happened and she said that to you, were you like, oh shit, am I in trouble? Like, could you enjoy the movie?
Yes, for the entire movie. No, I could not enjoy the movie.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Like that was the kind of parenting that you were at the underneath.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where there could be like fear instilled in you like that.
There was a lot of fear of being in trouble. It's not like my parents beat us or anything.
Right.
But there was a lot of
emotional.
A lot of emotional, like anger and disappointment and stuff like that. So I could tell my mother was aghast that I had done this. And then afterwards, like she didn't forget. Like, you know how
like
some parents.
Like she probably thought about it through the whole movie too, is what you're saying.
Yeah, because she didn't want to see that fucking movie.
What a weird experience, though. Like, she's taking you to a movie you want to see.
Yeah.
And yet, the experience became awkward and stressful because of the way that happened.
Yeah.
Wow.
What was really funny is this is our second or third attempt to see this movie. Because the first time we went to see it, same theater, the movie just never started. Like, we sat there for a while, and then
like
eventually...
Like, they were having, like, technical difficulties or something?
We have no idea. I think they said the projectionist didn't show up.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I feel this could be wrong, but I feel like it happened again another time. And then finally, on the third try, it happened. But I said, fuck, in front of my mom. I must have enjoyed the movie somewhat. I can't... I was a little kid. I can't have been, like, fixated on that through the entire thing.
I bet you did think about it, though.
But I think she did, you know, give me a talking to afterwards, like, never say that word again or something like that. She had a big thing about cursing. It really bothered her.
Why do you think?
I don't know. Who cares? Like, look, I can understand if you don't want to listen to somebody cursing every other word, but... The occasional fuck or shit or whatever, like, so what?
And yet, raising 6 kids in Philadelphia.
She should have been, she would curse when she got mad.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Like how, like F?
No, never heard her say that word in my
damn.
Life. Damn. Damn, hell, shit, goddamn, sons of bitches.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was like I.
She would, but she would
do
not say
as
that.
I say, but not as I do.
Yeah, she would not say that to us directly. We could hear her, like in another room, being angry and cursing.
It's like repressed anger, kind of thing.
Who fucking knows? Occasionally, she would say shit in front of us in like a lighthearted way or something. You know what I mean? But any religious type cursing was absolutely forbidden.
Right.
Yeah.
Like. If you were like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Oh, my God. That would have been it. That would have been curtains. Jesus fucking, she would have lost her mind.
Wow. I love cussing, and I always kind of have. But, like, I grew up in the South with a bunch of girls who were, like, part of this kind of patriarchal fucking system.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd cuss all the time.
Yeah.
Like it was like, we were bad. Like we'd smoke cigarettes and cuss and sneak out.
Well, your mom cussed in front of you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But not your dad?
No, my dad's cussed in front of me. My dad has cussed in front of me.
I don't think I've ever heard him
say F word, yeah.
Have you really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I ever have. I've never heard him curse.
He's not a big cusser, but like he's not an anti-cusser.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Welcome to West fucking Virginia.
West by God, Virginia. No, I'm just saying, like, well, my granddad.
Oh, my mom's side. I wish I had met him.
He was like...
He was a colorful character.
He was colorful.
He's like somebody out of a movie. That's what he sounds like to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, I don't know. We just kind of did like... I don't know if that's like a Gen X thing though. Mm-hmm. Like, because my parents are boomers and silent generation, and your parents were greatest generation.
Yeah.
So it was like growing up with different norms, you know?
I would curse with my friends, but you couldn't curse at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started stand-up when I was young, I did not curse at all. I still don't curse much in my stand-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I like when you, I told you I want to fuck a bee. But then you took that out when you did it on TV or whatever.
Yeah, because it was TV.
I know, but now you could totally be like...
Oh, I know. Now they just bleep it.
Or now they wouldn't bleep. I mean, I think you can say
depending
fuck.
On the... Yeah, depending on the
I was like,
platform.
I told you I want to fuck a bee. It was like so funny because like... You're not really saying fuck, but the character in the bit is saying
exactly,
fuck.
Emphatically. He has to say it.
Yes. Yeah.
I bet that bit is online somewhere.
I think that bit holds up.
Yeah, it's a funny bit. It's just silly.
That's a good fucking bit.
Thank you.
It was actually kind of one of my favorite bits
I didn't realize that.
Of that era of your stand-up.
Paul F. Tompkins era.
I like your stand-up that has like scenes in it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like I like that kind of stand-up. Yeah. And I think that kind of stand-up holds up more a little bit because mm-hmm. it doesn't have to necessarily be topical or whatever.
Yeah. I like doing that. I also think it's a nice break from just monologizing as myself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It breaks it up a little bit.
I think it's become like trendy to put like scenes in the stand-up. I think that's like a thing now like people try to do. And I think you're like really funny at doing it. Mm-hmm. So you should do it more than anybody else. Although I don't know. I should say the younger generation of stand-ups, mm-hmm. like what they're up to. Because they're all coming out of like TikTok and doing videos and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, people are doing.
I gotta check out some news.
There's a lot of character stuff, you know? Like a lot of people doing character things.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll do multiple character things in a set.
Yeah.
You know? And I think it does come out of that front-facing comedy world. And it's interesting to see how some people can translate it to stage and some people can't.
The last like live comedy shows where I've seen like an hour, like I saw Alex Edelman's show, Just For Us,
mm-hmm.
and it was really good. But that was like a one man. It was almost like a one man.
It's theatrical.
I saw it at a theater.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it's streaming now.
Yes, it is. I have to see it. Yeah.
I wonder how it plays on streaming actually. And then I saw Heather McMahon this last mm-hmm. fall. And she is so funny.
Yeah.
And her stand-up is kind of traditional in that it's like, it's self-deprecating.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it has like that sort of throwback to it. That's
you were
like
on the ground floor with her.
I know. Yeah. I was such an early Heather McMahon adopter
mm-hmm.
that... When I discovered her on Instagram mm-hmm. and I was just like following her stories because she was like going to Italy all the time. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was like part of this thing where she like was going to get married. I didn't know.
Right,
like she lived with her mom and her mom was a character and she was like grieving her dad and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I made her have lunch with me.
Sorry, I made her.
Yeah, she doesn't even live in LA. She was like living in Atlanta, and I was like, and the next time you come to LA, I'm gonna make you have lunch with me. And then this is like before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did. And then, you know, her sister listens to Stay of Homekins.
Oh, shout out to Heather's sister. What's her name?
Ashley, I think. Well, she's a Georgia Law lady. I know that.
Hello, Georgia Law Lady.
That's
Ashley.
Georgia Law Lady. Yeah. And so, but anyway, Heather's stand-up was so funny. And mm-hmm. I think, and I had watched her special on Netflix, which was all about like grieving her dad and stuff like that. And
do you know what's funny? I've never seen her stand-up. And I've not been avoiding it, but I haven't watched a lot of stand-up lately.
Yeah.
But I have a weird, I have a contact happiness for her because of you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, good for her.
And now she's like doing all these red carpets.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
I told her too after we saw her show, me and Samantha went to see her show.
Yeah.
I was like, you're like a young, like the millennial Joan Rivers.
Yes. Yeah. It makes so much. She has a personality like, that makes sense for
that. Like, she was like, that's like such a great compliment.
That's a wonderful compliment.
I mean,
because
she loved Joan Rivers and stuff. And I was like, but now she's doing the red carpets, which to me, like, it kind of is.
Absolutely.
It is like the next generation of that.
That's also a thing that you can do for so long because you become an icon for these things. You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't be the same if we didn't have Heather doing it.
Right,
like,
before
too long, it's like that.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
then you do it till you die.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she's got a work ethic that's, like, insane. Mm-hmm. But, like, her... I liked her first... I liked the second material, too. But, like, the first special that I saw on Netflix, it was... Like, she's a good writer. Like, she structures her hour... Like, she structures it so that it has, like, kind of... You know, I'm making shapes with my hands, which you can't see. But
guess what, folks? Even if you could see them, I don't think that would have helped.
There's a lot of stand-up I'm behind the times on. Like, I have no clue or reference to this Matt Rife kid, who I saw just got, like, another huge, like, ginormous deal with Netflix.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even know what he looked like. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I wish I could say the same, but unfortunately, I've seen enough.
But, like, his whole thing is just he's popular online, but he does hacky material. That's it?
Yeah, he does really hacky material. He rose to popularity because he put a bunch of crowd work videos online, which, man, I skip right past those. Even people that I know and love put those up, and I'm just like, I can't watch crowd work online anymore.
It's also like it's crowd work for a reason because you're
having
to deal with a crowd kind of a thing,
but
right?
No, not always. Sometimes it's just like I'm just talking to people. Sometimes it's a good way to warm up the crowd before you get into your material, but it's also a great way to promote yourself online without burning material.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, here's me being funny. If you come see me live, then the bonus is I have actual material. You know, but Matt Rife does not really have actual material. It's just like really the most, you know, jokey kind of just garbage, you know. And
I have a question about has anyone a stand up like special? Mm-hmm. Has anyone ever done a stand up special where they just had someone follow them around all the clubs and cut together their best crowd work? And that's the special.
Ugh. I mean,
and the name of the special is Crowdwork.
Todd Barry put out a Crowdwork album.
Oh, he did?
Yes. I don't know if it was one single set.
But he had material.
No, that was the whole point. It was called Crowdwork, I think. It was just Crowdwork. And I don't know if it was from one single set or if it was several sets, you know, put together. But that was the intent. Was like, I'm going to put out an album of just Crowdwork.
Okay, so I guess someone did do it.
Yeah, and it was Todd Barry.
But I meant like a special, like a video special, like on Netflix or something.
I don't know. I hope not, and I hope no one ever does.
Do you think AI is coming after stand-up comedy?
Not anytime soon. But honestly,
Is that a thing that AI can't come after, right?
AI cannot come after. And here's why AI has a tough time with comedy is because AI always, in my kind of experimenting with AI and comedy, no matter what the prompt is.
Yeah.
Like I tried to get AI to write some sketches, right?
Okay.
And I tried to embed conflict in the ideas.
Okay.
They would always end with like a sweet resolution where the characters agreed to just get along or they laughed at themselves for being so silly or whatever. So there's a lot in comedy that is not positive, and the nuance of making something funny out of something unpleasant is not something that computers can do yet.
No.
You know? And also a lot of the popular comedy right now is blatantly mean and bullying nasty shit, right?
Yeah.
So AI is not, they're not allowed to do that. Like right now the programming is be nice.
Okay, so but like, okay.
That's what it seems like to me.
This
anyway.
Whole thing about like the mean archetype, like that is like a thing in comedy, but also like story, right?
Yeah.
Mean girls or whatever, like, you know, and not just that, but like I'm calling out that because it's the only thing that's coming to my mind right now.
And it's got the word mean in it. So
it's got the
easy.
Word mean in it, you know? Mm. It's like, because there's trends, right, in comedy. Like, are we done yet with that trend?
We're not done with it yet, but eventually we will
But don't
be.
You feel like we're nearing the end, like it's becoming tedious and tiresome?
I hope so, but as with most things, it'll get worse before it gets better.
But I think we're there. I think it's at the worst.
I don't think so. It can get worse.
No.
Yeah, it can get worse. Yeah, for sure. Don't sell these people short.
It's so lazy.
Matt Reif still has to do a couple other hours.
It's so lazy.
Yeah, it's terrible. All right. What a great note to end on.
Is it?
Yeah. Look, there's
Wait,
still
should
good...
I ask ChatGPT how I should end this?
No, let's leave ChatGPT out of this. How about this?
What a great
Let me say this. There are still good people out there. There is still good entertainment out there. There's still good books to read. There's still good... stuff to consume that can make you feel more hopeful and more positive about things. So let's not, I don't want to forget that, you know.
Had I finished Ed Zwick's book before the last episode we did? Because I can't remember. Because that would be one that I would recommend.
Right. Recommend it again. Who cares?
To recommend this book twice in a row?
I know. Look. You gotta break the barriers. You know what I mean?
I loved Ed Zwick's book, My 40 Years in Hollywood or whatever. I've actually read like a few other books. I'm in the middle of this novel, Worry, and I can't remember the name, but I'm enjoying it so far. It's kind of funny, but darkly funny. About like these millennial sisters that live in Brooklyn. It's like, anyway, I'm enjoying that. And then I don't know what else.
I want to re-recommend Resident Alien, which I've really enjoyed. The first couple seasons are on Netflix right now, so you can binge them, and it's a really fun show. I also am reading, this is based on a conversation with our friends Christine and David, the last time they were in town. David lives here now.
Yeah, I'm like,
but we were talking about books. We were talking about the sort of the big bestsellers of when we were kids.
Oh yeah, because we talked about Shogun too.
Yeah. Oh, Shogun is so good.
Because we're watching the miniseries.
Yes.
The remake of the miniseries. Okay.
This book came up and I started reading it and I just finished it last night. It's great. Gorky Park.
Oh, you finished it last
night? Yeah.
And it was good?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was fun.
I should read
Cold
it?
War thriller. It's great. Yeah, you might like it. You might like it.
Yeah.
It's really well written and exciting and, you know.
Because I was going to read Opposable Thumbs next about...
Monkeys?
Siskel.
About Siskel and Ebert? It's called Opposable Thumbs?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's
wow.
Like I have it on loan.
Oh, my God.
Wait, you didn't know that?
No. That's incredible.
because I think one of them was like a dick, right? That was like sort of a thing.
That's incredible. I don't think either one of them were outright dicks.
No,
I
one
think
of
that
them
they...
was not. One of them was like lovely, Ebert, right? Because we saw that documentary. Remember we saw that documentary?
But that doesn't mean the other guy's by default a dick.
And I was like.
No, it's a great documentary, but I think they just clashed. But I don't think that Gene Siskel was like, I never heard that he was a dick. They just did not get along.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to learn all about it when I get to that in my list.
Yeah.
And since I have it.
Opposable Thumbs. God damn. There should be an award for that. There should be a Pulitzer Prize for titles. Doesn't matter about the rest of the book. The rest of that book could be shit. You have my love forever by calling it opposable thumbs. And listen, here's a rec for you.
Does that make you want to read it?
It does kind of make me want to read it. But also because I grew up with those guys,
you know, too.
Like people of a certain generation.
Hello,
and if you're
too.
Not familiar with Siskel and Ebert, you have to look
it
up
was the
YouTube.
Sunday afternoon thing.
Yeah, you have
it's come
to look
on
up.
PBS.
Yeah, although it was syndicated. Yeah. But you have to look up compilations on YouTube of them arguing with each other.
I've not seen that.
Oh, honey, there's a montage of them trying to do promos together where they're being assholes to each other.
Yeah.
And it's fucking
Wait,
great.
That sounds actually familiar to me.
You must have seen it.
I've seen that.
You must have seen
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that.
But honestly, look up compilations of those guys together because it's really entertaining. It's really fun. And they were it, man. When we were kids, they were the fun. Because other people went after, like the show continued. It went from, what was it originally called?
Two Thumbs Up?
No. Well, they can't call it Two Thumbs Up.
Something with Siskel and Ebert, right?
Yeah.
It was something with.
And then they moved somewhere else. They changed the name. And then somebody else, like, was at the movies
or something.
You know, two other people took it over. And then, like, it kept happening where they would go to a new iteration. And then the vacancy would be filled by two other film critics. But it was never the same. It was never the same as it was with them. They were the best.
They had something.
The
tension between them
yes.
was a relatable, like when people went to see the movies with their friends
yeah.
and they had different tastes and stuff. There yeah. was something kind of like
they would
relatable.
Have legit arguments with each other. It was great.
I feel like I remember liking watching that show though, because it sort of like showed you movie trailers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because they would do the reviews and they would say, here's what's coming up next. And they would show trailers and say, well, what do you think about this? You know?
I feel like they always showed like a clip of the movie they were reviewing even in the body of the show.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was at the movies. Okay, Cuckoo, we get it. And their catchphrase changed because first it was, until then, the balcony is closed. That was their sign off. Or the first, I can't remember which one was first, but then there was also save us the aisle seats.
That's what they said?
Yeah, they changed it when they went to the next thing. Because that was the IP of, you know, whatever. Because it was like Michael Medved and I forget the other guy's name.
I remember Michael Medved because he would come out with like that movie kind of dictionary book, right?
Yeah.
Or am I thinking of?
Oh,
Norman Bates.
Yeah, you're probably thinking of Norman Bates. Guy who killed his mother? He loved the movies. All right.
Leonard Maltin.
Oh, Leonard Maltin. I loved Leonard Maltin.
You know, I was going to come up with it.
Norman Bates.
You guys, like, you never just, like, go with me down the tangent.
Where was I? I think I went with you.
You do?
Yeah. I was like, yeah, Norman Bates, he killed his mother. You love the movies.
I would like to recommend our bonus podcast episodes because I have to say, first of all, our Vanderpump Rules reaction podcasts
mm-hmm.
are among the most popular bonus content we put out.
Yes, and apparently some people who don't even watch the show listen to those recaps.
I know, but some people
which is weird.
Who don't watch the show have started listening to our recap reaction pods. And now they're like, I guess I'm going to have to go watch it.
And like, which, look, we didn't want that to happen.
And we're very sorry. Like, no, like, you just have to, like, kind of go with it or
yeah,
whatever.
Learn from our mistakes. But also, we, you know, I don't know when it's coming back, but, and just like that.
By the way, they've gotten rid of, like, every fucking cast member.
Che Diaz will not be returning.
There was another, Nia is not returning
Nia
either.
Nia is not returning.
Both characters that they did not know what to do with.
Yes.
Have not
Weirdly
been invited
enough,
back.
They
which,
are not
by
coming
the way,
back.
Like, why don't ask John Corbett back because his character, Aiden, blows. I'm sorry, but
do you know what would have been
might
more
like Aiden? Whatever.
It would have been more interesting if they brought
kid got in an accident because he wasn't around.
Who gives a shit? If they brought Berger back, that would have been more interesting. That somehow they reconnected after that horrible breakup.
That if she ran into Berger in a bar or a fundraiser or something, and
days are over.
That he's doing well.
Yeah.
He just sold a novel.
Yeah.
Like for real.
Yeah. And he apologizes. He said,
and
you
he's
know
like,
what?
Yo, I broke up with you on a sticky and I thought on a post-it and I thought I'll never run into you again. And yet all I did was think about what a dick.
I always thought if
move.
I ever saw you again, the first thing I would do would be apologize. Maybe he didn't want to do it. Who knows? But that's a little taste of what you're going to get.
By the way. Oh, yeah. That's for And Just Like That.
Yeah.
And then we obviously have our watch-alongs. That's at weekendwater.substack.com.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think that's it.
I just want everyone to, like, you know, hang in there, I guess.
Yeah. And I want to say, I know that I've been feeling very doom and gloomy lately. And I know that I'm giving that off, you know, in the things that I say, you know, because it is hard to kind of not feel that way, I think, for me and for a lot of people. But I do think there's still so many wonderful things in life, and we're extremely lucky, you and I.
Well, yeah, I mean, we get to do this podcast and it brings us joy. I hope it brings other people joy, but like, I don't know. We're blessed with one another and our friends and stuff.
But I want to focus more on that. And I want to celebrate those things, be grateful for them, and try to spread as much positive stuff as I can.
Comedy, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Comedy is like, we got to fight for it. Do you know what I mean?
We got to fight for it.
If we lose comedy, we lose the world.
So true, girlfriend.
No. If we lose comedy, we lose the fucking universe.
Well, I don't know. I think the universe is probably going to be fine.
Without comedy?
It already doesn't have it.
Yes, it does.
It only has it here.
We don't know
you
that.
You think there's comedy on other planets? Well, we can't get into this. It's too late.
I think...
All right, we'll do a special, an in-depth special. Is there comedy on other planets?
Is there comedy on other planets?
Thank you for listening. We really appreciate it.
Check out... Kinship Goods for our duck-billed. I'd rather be duck-billed.
Duck-billed than red-pilled.
And guess what? Don't get red-pilled.
Don't get red-pilled. And I want to say, if you have some extra money and you want to join the Substack for the bonus stuff, go ahead. If you don't, no problem. We still love you. And
still do this podcast once a month.
And we'll still do we're still posting on Substack for free and, you know, all that.
Get up in there.
But we really appreciate all of our listeners. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll be back in May. We'll be back in May. And until then, stay safe, stay sane, and stay strong.